from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Play ball!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The World Baseball Classic is awesome. I cannot wait for Venezuela to play Team USA tonight.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, winner of the Players Championship, Cameron Young, ESPN college basketball analyst, Jay Billis. Coming up, ESPN NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Matt Miller of ESPN zooming in shortly to talk about the NFL draft, a total reconfiguration towards the end of it today. Jalen Waddle has been traded from the Dolphins to the Denver Broncos for a 1-3 this year and a pick swap in the 4th. So the Broncos are going to be choosing late in the second round on Friday night and then not again until early on Saturday. Is they're going to be running it back. 844-204-RICH is, in fact, the number to dial here on the program. Chris Brockman and Jay Felly in their position.
What's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson has got the electric candle working right here. I think we're having a very good show for being a Fugazi candle.
Well, actually, they'll flicker a little bit.
Oh, okay. That's production value right there.
Fugazi candle.
Very good. Fugazi candle. let's go to Ed in Michigan. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What's up, Ed? Ed, line one, you there, Ed? Okay. I'm going to put Ed back on hold.
You know what? I don't really want to hear from Ed.
Why do you want to hear from Ed?
Well, I can see what his topic is.
Oh, okay. Well, Derek in Missouri, one of our regulars. What's up, Derek? You there, Derek?
Not much, Rich. I was going to go into the discussion about asking about John Franklin's draft needs, but I don't need to do that now because of the news that broke this morning about Jalen Waddle. So nice that we got something going for free agency. Well, frequency is pretty much out the window now because everybody's pretty much booked in as far as acquisitions and such and new deals. But other than that, I would say Waddle's not a bad addition. I like it. It's something that we need to boost our receiving core with him. And one more thing before you let me go, Rich, before you get to Matt Miller, I want to say congratulations on your anniversary yesterday for SportsCenter.
Thanks, bud.
There's a reason why you've been on my TV for 30-plus years, good sir, and because you're a professional, and you're a good man at what you do, and you got a good team behind you down there at the studio. I appreciate every one of you.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate that. That's Derek in Missouri here on the program. Hey, listen, in terms of what the Broncos need is just more football players, right? I know that sounds like a bunch of word salad right there or a cop-out, but the bottom line is they've decided to run it back, and I don't know who's going to be available with the 62nd overall pick. I just don't. And whoever's going to be sitting there, it doesn't matter what side of the ball, go get him and bring him in and tell him, guess what you get to do? Win a Super Bowl this year in Super Bowl 61 in Los Angeles, California. That's what you get to do. And good luck to everyone else trying to beat the Denver Broncos this year because they can beat you in many different ways. Now they could beat you deep with a quick threat. As our buddy Gus Ramsey wants to chime in here on the program. He's a diehard Bronco fan, and I'm a diehard Gus Ramsey fan from back in the day on SportsCenter and Full Sail University, the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting. What's up, Gus Ramsey?
Rich, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Congrats on Jalen Waddle.
What's up, man?
Right, dude?
Gus? Yeah. You know, I was ready to give you a little grief for not really caring about the Patriots and Brockman, and then he dropped them either or, and now I'm back on your side.
Okay, so, thank you.
Gus, that was I'm going to throw the graphics team under the bus on that.
Couldn't let that slide. Yeah, I looked it up. Since Jalen Waddle came into the league, the Broncos have had 15 100-yard receiving games. Jalen Waddle has 13. And I've been a fan of this team since 1976. And I really had to scratch to try to find a player like him that they've had. You know, they've had some sprinter guys, Rick Upchurch and Vance Johnson, and they were good receivers, but not to the level of Waddle. So this just completely changes the game for them. And you mentioned Peyton, like, if you're Davis Webb, like, now you've been handed this piece. Like, you got to think they're just sitting down in the office today, scribbling stuff up and trying to figure out. It's just going to bring a whole new book to this offense that they really have maybe not never had, but haven't had in a really long, long time.
So what do you think they need? What's left? What's a piece that if they're sitting out there 62nd overall on the clock on a Friday night in Pittsburgh with their first draft choice of this draft, who do you think they could take, Gus?
I think they go defense now.
You do? Okay.
Because, I mean, the receiver room is pretty deep. Unless they manage to find a way to trade up for – I don't think Sadiq is gettable now, but I think they could look at tight end. But beyond that, they're definitely going to be looking at inside linebacker. Maybe a secondary piece, but I would bet more likely to go defense than offense.
All right, Gussie. Thanks for the
Rich,
yeah.
Yeah, and before I know I texted you yesterday,
yes, sir,
that I thought Francisco Cervelli and Tom Sizemore are basically the same guy.
Yeah, he did say that.
So
yeah,
I'm asking you if you could cast Francisco Cervelli in a Tom Sizemore role, what would it be?
Mm.
My pick is I'd put him as the mob boss in Enemy of the State.
He does look like him a little bit.
Good one.
You know?
Yeah, have your team get a split screen up there and show the world. You got to find the right pictures, but it can work.
Yeah.
And by the way,
yes, sir?
One last thing before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime Bronco fans will remember Sammy Winder used to kind of have a Waddle touchdown celebration where he would kind of go side to side and then spike. So this will be our second Waddle touchdown celebration. And I think a Penguin guy will fit well in the cold climate of Denver.
This is why Dan turned to you, Gus, to make the youth in his name smarter and better. That's why you're next
level.
These
are the kinds of conversations that we have around our classrooms. You know, Tom Sizemore and Francisco Cervelli, what movies could he do?
Okay.
I don't know what they're talking about at Syracuse and Northwestern and Arizona.
Yep.
But, you know, what was the other thing I texted you yesterday?
Well,
was Michael B. Jordan extra happy that he won the Oscar because he didn't need Scottie Pippen to do it?
Gus Ramsey, everybody.
Yeah, those are the kind of conversations we have here at Full Sail.
I'm already seeing all the posts out there on socials that if LeBron B. James ever wins an Oscar one day, then it's going to be on about which is the best. Thanks, Gus. Appreciate the time. That's Gus
Either
Ramsey.
Nor.
Take care, buddy. That's Gus Ramsey, everyone.
There it goes.
Here on the
you think Michael B. Jordan would be as successful and famous if he was just Mike Jordan? Obviously, he did the B, so there would be no confusion.
Why not?
And so if he just went by Mike.
Yeah, right.
You think it's because of the Michael B. aspect
I don't know.
Of it? That's why he's his.
No.
Hey, T.J. Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
Hey, T.J. Jefferson.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know Jerry Jones has spoken about Cowboys free agency?
Today?
At the Grand, did you know there's a Grand Prix of Arlington?
I did not know.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Fast cars.
Don't spend a lot of time down in Arlington.
The Dallas Cowboys, general manager, owner, whatever you want to call him.
I mean, he's the owner.
All of these things.
I mean, all of it.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, the major domo.
Is the Cowboys.
Major domo.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He spoke about the Cowboys free agency at length.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
You know I would.
I have not heard it either, but I'm excited to hear it.
Let's go.
Hit it.
I don't know that since we've had free agency as we know it today, where it's really very viable, most teams involved, very actively making deals, if you will. I don't know since that has evolved and come about that we've ever had this kind of reshaping of an aspect of our team. And, of course, we actually have touched some offense with some blocker, with a great blocker. But more importantly, what we've done on defense And that plus what we have set up for the draft, plus what we really have coming back from our veteran defensive players that really didn't play that much last year, injury issues, things like that, gives us a lot of promise. And I'll tell you, when you have the challenges we had last year, there's no place to go but up on the defensive side of the ball. And had we played a lick of defense last year, we'd have had ourselves, I think, a real playoff run.
Hmm. You can't argue with that.
No.
I understand that you, frequently we play Jerry Jones sound bites. I turn to you and you're shaking your head in your hands or whatever. But if we played a lick of defense last year,
with the offense we had,
they could have made a playoff run. I still don't think they'd be better than Seattle.
No.
The way that Seattle was playing.
No, but we would have been better than how we played.
How about, by the way, we didn't talk about them sending Osa Odighizuwa to the Niners, of all teams.
Right.
Of all teams.
Of all teams.
But and we thought now that they've got that line, but clearly cap-wise, they needed to make at least another move, it seems like. But to turn their defensive line now into Kenny Clark, Quinnen Williams, and Rashawn Gary, along with what they've added in other pieces and what they could add in the draft with two first-rounders, you got to like what they've got cooking up right now.
Yeah.
12 and 20. They can add two really good players to their defense.
That's why I'm like holding
you should
expectations until after this draft.
Oh, no, I understand that, but you're gonna come out of the draft in Pittsburgh feeling great. And that Friday show that we do in Pittsburgh after the Thursday night where they choose these two guys, you're gonna go on you will not go on the air on Friday going, "What the hell were they doing?"
I don't see there's a how that could happen.
I don't unless they trade out and there's somebody that they think you think could have helped them. I think that there's going to be two players on defense left on the board at 12 and 20 that they're going to add along with what they've done, and you're going to feel really good about what the Cowboys are up to. And that's not something I say a lot.
Yeah, you really don't.
That's my first blush thought about that soundbite. My second one is we got to get Caliendo in here where he does Jerry Jones talking about the cars from the movie Cars. You know?
Did this just pop in your head?
Yes,
now?
Watching, you know, listening to that, the hum of the cars, right? I want him to do Rascal Flatts. I want him to do, say, Lightning McQueen, you know, like, don't you think? Right?
Jackson Storm, Micah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chick Hicks.
Just the cast of Cars.
Of course.
The Cars from Cars.
Yep.
While singing Life is a Highway or talking it out.
Bob Cutlass.
You know what I mean? Don't you think that would be great?
I'm here for that.
Okay. Rent Mustang Burger.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Thank you very much as well. I like that. Little Ricky Bobby. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. All right, Matt Miller is going to join us next. We have situated him. We have found him. He is situated. We're going to talk draft and new draft order.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax. Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. The ESPN radio audience has returned. Matt Miller is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last time we saw him was in person at the Combine. Now he is on St. Patrick's Day wearing green. Good to see you, Matt. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Gotta bust out the green for today, if today only. It's the one day you can wear a hoodie under a suit jacket on ESPN and get away with it.
I like it. Let's do it. Let's just jump right into it. Matt Miller, is there, I'll ask this on behalf of Miami Dolphin fans, is there any chance Carnell Tate will be there for the 11th overall pick and the Miami Dolphins being on the clock in several Thursdays from now in Pittsburgh? Matt, what do you think?
I'd be pretty surprised if he's there. I think he's just too good of a prospect, too good of a route runner. He's exactly where the league is going at that position. We're kind of going away from the smaller, speedier guys and going more toward proven route runners. I think you could thank Puka Nacua. You can thank Jaxon Smith-Njigba, even Justin Jefferson to some degree. Guys who maybe you look at them and say you don't have that elite physical trait like a Xavier Worthy with the speed that he has or the quickness or that burst in the open field. But what you do have is an ability to just get open on your own. And I think that's something that has become, once again, incredibly important. And that's what Carnell Tate does. His superpower is he's always open. He can separate before the ball gets there. He can separate after the ball gets there. He has that ability to high point. So for Dolphins fans, I don't think he will be there at 11. But I would say the silver lining is you now have a front office coming from Green Bay, an area where they've had a lot of success finding wide receivers outside of the first round. We know they historically went forever without drafting a receiver in the first round. And some of that philosophy is probably going to be in South Beach now.
So the irony would be, though, that they get Green Bay front office and head coach people, and they do use their first round selection on a wide receiver, even though they do now have another one at 30th overall. Let's just say they do something like that. Who would be the wide receiver not named Carnell Tate that you think would be a fit for Miami and that they would pull the trigger on?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Mekhi Lemon from USC. I think he would be a fit at 11 if he's still on the board. He is actually my number one receiver in this draft now. He's a little bit smaller than Carnell Tate, but his middle of the field toughness is exceptional. He's a great route runner, a yak player. He could play in the slot. He could play outside. And I reference the Iowa game with Lemon constantly of someone who just showed his toughness. There are multiple plays where he knows the safety's going to come in and light him up. He's still willing to go up, climb the ladder, catch the ball. And then he does give you a lot of juice after the catch. He created the most missed tackles of any receiver in this year's draft with 21. So he has that ability to make you miss. But then there's that toughness in his game where he will try to run over you. He'll try to run through you to get to the end zone if he has that opportunity. So if they go away from that old school Ron Wolf strategy and want to draft a receiver at 11, I think he's a tremendous fit with what they now have in Malik Willis. And really an offense that's going to be built around the run game. You're going to be able to win with play action with a route runner like Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah, and just to reconfirm what I thought from the combine, I just Googled him to see what his height is, 5'11". And Waddle's 5'10", so that's kind of apples to apples in just that one metric right there. And I'm also seeing most of the headlines involving Lemon is the fact that he's already scheduled a top 30 visit with guess who? The Miami Dolphins, and that was from 2 days ago, so we can connect some dots right there before we turn the page, Matt. Where do you think Carnell Tate going if you don't think he's going to get out of the top 10?
I mean, I think the conversation starts as early as 4. The Tennessee Titans added Wandale Robinson, but he's a slot-only player. If you want to help Cam Ward, one way to do it would be to give him a X receiver, something that can win on the outside one-on-one. And from then on, it's every team. The New York Giants, they could use someone like this opposite Malik Nabers. The Cleveland Browns could use they don't have a quarterback, but they could definitely use a number one receiver. It goes all the way through. And I even think 9, Kansas City, is a sneaky spot for a potential wide receiver because we just don't know what the future holds for Rashee Rice, who's been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons the past couple of off seasons. And Xavier Worthy, who I mentioned earlier, has not been the hit that we all thought he might be when he broke the 40-yard dash record. Rich, I know you were close to setting that, but Worthy had you by a little bit. It was close, but he had you.
He did.
So those guys haven't been the impacts that Brett Veach needs them to be at receiver. So I can't see him getting past Kansas City at 9. So I think the window for Carnell Tate is really it's from 4 to 9.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, Matt, is to refresh the draft conversation as we're 5 weeks away from the draft, now through the prism of free agency. And to see the Saints at 8 and the Chiefs at 9 go into the running back free agent market tells me a couple things. And one is that they do not believe Jeremiah Love gets down to 8 or 9. Let's start with that. Where do you see him landing now that you know the Saints and the Chiefs kind of believe he's not going to last very long on the first Thursday night?
Yeah, when we saw Kenneth Walker sign with Kansas City, my first thought was, okay, they knew Jeremiah Love wasn't going to get to 9, so you got to solve the running back problem. And they did that in a great way for agency. But I think the Love conversation is not like the Carnell Tate conversation. It probably starts at 3. I think the Cardinals should go right tackle with Francis Malinois. They could go pass rusher, but they could just take Jeremiah Love and say, okay, we don't have the quarterback yet, but we'll build the offense around Love, and then we'll add the quarterback next year in a richer class. But I think for the Titans, the way they attacked free agency, the way they trade for Jermaine Johnson, who was familiar with Robert Saleh, they get John Franklin Myers, they solve some problems in their secondary. They could look at this draft and say, maybe we don't value a receiver at 4, but we think Jeremiah Love can be exactly the complement that Cam Ward needs, much in the same way that the Giants, when they had Daniel Jones, you had Saquon Barkley try to help each other out that way. So I think Love could go anywhere from 4 to 7. I don't know that he gets out of that window right now. It feels like Tennessee's the most interesting spot. But something I did hear at the Combine after we sat down together, Rich, was that the New York Giants should not be ruled out when it comes to Jeremiah Love. This is a team that's proven in the past they'll take a running back early. And what was told to me, if you remember that amazing moment on Hard Knocks where John Mara just has his head in his hands and he's leaning against the wall and he's so upset that Saquon's going to Philly, they definitely have some remorse about losing a star running back. So here's your opportunity to get another one to help your young quarterback, which is exactly what they did when they drafted Saquon.
Yeah, we had Cam Scataboo on this program last week, and he said, though, that he's going to be ready for Bear. He's going to be back. He said he can't outrun a baby hippo right now, or he said that that's the only thing he could outrun. But, it would be tantalizing to say, Love in New York. But again, that Scataboo is going to have to get some touches, and Love appears to be that guy who's going to eventually be, if it all works out the way that we think, that guy is going to be 20, 25, 30 touches, Bijan, McCaffrey type of guy, right? I mean, so I don't know if that would be a fit in the long run at the end of the day.
It'd be an interesting one. And I think it would speak to, does the new coaching staff value Scataboo, who had such great moments in his rookie season? But it's a style thing, I think, would be the biggest question there, is what do you want out of your running back? Do you want that bruiser? Which Scataboo has some runaway capability. We certainly saw that at Arizona State. We saw it last year with the Giants. Love is just a different type of running back. He is that Bijan, Saquon, Christian McCaffrey type player that's going to help you as a receiver, as well as he can run inside, outside. He's got the speed. He has power. I mean, it's just truly everything you could want in a running back prospect. So it's not what I would do if I were the Giants at 5, but I think those are the conversations that are happening around the league right now, is this such a transcendent prospect that you evaluate your team a little bit differently and say, sure, we have a second-year running back that had some moments last year, but do we look at this guy and think maybe he could be better?
Matt Miller here on the Rich Eisen Show. The other thing that the signing of Travis Etienne or Etienne in New Orleans and then Kenneth Walker in Kansas City tells me is, again, Love's not getting there, but they're also, that's too high to take Price. Jadarian Price, who is Love's teammate, is the only other back who might be valued in a certain way as a difference maker, with all due respect to everyone else. So that to me made it seem like this is not a very deep running back draft at the end of the day, despite what we saw on the field at the Combiner. Is that the general sense coming out of Indianapolis too, Matt?
Yeah, it definitely is. We'll see the two Notre Dame backs go 1-2, I think, is the expectation. And Jadarian Price should be a top 40 selection, maybe even a late first round pick. And I think with him, it's a lot of, What could he have done had he been the number one running back somewhere else? He's a great return man. He runs with power. He has speed. In a lot of ways, he is a lot like Jeremiah Love, just not as proven. I think the wild card will be Mike Washington, the running back from Arkansas, who had a great Senior Bowl week, had a great combine week. There was that cool moment where he's sobbing on the bench after running a 4.33 in the 40-yard dash. So he's the only other player that I think we could look at right now as saying probably a second-round pick for Mike Washington, but it is a very weak class at running back. Some players that we expected to pop, you know, both running backs at Penn State had down years. We just didn't see the big years from players like CJ Baxter at Texas, who actually went into the transfer portal and didn't enter the draft this year. Same with Trey Wisner, another Longhorn running back. So we didn't see the big pop from running backs this year that we expected. And it has left a pretty diluted class.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the end of the first round, who would, barring any trades, take Price? What about the Seahawks having lost Walker? Would you think that that would be a landing spot, or that just isn't what the Seahawks would want to do with their first round Super Bowl selection? Matt.
No, I think it's definitely, he's in range there. And I think even looking at Houston, you know, and I know Houston's done some things in free agency, but that's still getting younger, you know, getting younger, getting cheaper, having someone that's more of a long runway instead of the short-term answer. So I think we can say Houston, we can say certainly would be an option there. And then, like you said, you know, looking at these teams that don't have that answer, because you lose a free agent. When you lose Kenneth Walker, you have Zach Charbonnet, but there's been injury concerns there. So I think Price, if you're looking late first round and we're trying to squeeze the second running back in, those are the two spots that make the most sense to me.
Cowboys at 12 and 20. By the way, I don't know if, was that John Schneider calling you with the answer to my question during the middle?
It might have been the Giants upset with us about Cam Scattabooth.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll let me know afterwards. Just text me right when we're done. Yeah. Cowboys at 12 and 20. They tried for Nakobe Dean, and he said the gut feeling, apparently, according to my colleague Jane Slater from NFL Network, was to go to the Raiders. They apparently tried for Max Crosby, and were, I guess, maybe fortunate that they didn't land him based on the way the Ravens handled their business. What do you think the Cowboys at 12 and 20 are looking like right now from what you're coming post-combine, post-free agency? Two defenders right there, do you think? Boom, boom.
I think it has to be. And honestly, why not two players in the secondary? Why not just be aggressive in fixing the secondary? It's funny when you have a team like Dallas and they say, we were in on Max Crosby. Probably could have kept Micah Parsons and just solved, you know, a lot of your problems that you created on your own if you had just kept the guy that was in-house and quite a bit younger and loved being there. But I think now looking at where they've kind of made their bet, how they're going to fix this team is the secondary needs help. And I think corner at 12, that could be the first corner off the board this year. So you might have your pick of Mansoor Delane from LSU, who I thought was the best corner in college football last year. Or you're going to have a player in Jamaad McCoy from Tennessee who missed the 2025 season because of an ACL injury. And then you loop back around at 20 and you've got a shot at maybe the number two safety off the board with Dylan Dannemann from Oregon or Emmanuel McNeil Warren from Toledo. So if you want to aggressively fix your secondary, and I think thinking about it from a salary cap perspective, if you can get a number one corner on a rookie deal for 5 years, that's great calculus to be in, to where you can say, okay, now we're not paying $25 million, $30 million for a corner. We're paying responsible money for one. That's where Dallas kind of has to be with the superstars they have on offense and the way they're trying to build this defense with quite a few veterans up front. I would think you have to be aggressive in the secondary. And then there is that need of linebacker. I think in round two, you look at someone like Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas, who was a 3-year starter there, has tons of athletic ability, has some upside as a pass rusher off the edge as well. You can get three starters for this defense in the first two rounds.
How did free agency at all affect the quarterback draft? Anything? I mean, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think if you're Ty Simpson, you've crossed Miami off, and that was a reasonable landing spot for him. You know, as number 11 overall. I'm still not sold on Ty Simpson. I'm waiting to have that conversation where someone tells me I'm wrong and then explains why. But I look at a quarterback who started 15 games in college and doesn't have those elite physical traits, 6'1", 210 pounds. The first 9 games of the year were great, but you get into SEC competition, the final 6 were not good at all. And yes, he was banged up, and yes, the offensive line wasn't great this year, but Ty Simpson's a really interesting quarterback conversation, because do you play him out immediately because he needs more experience, he needs more reps, or do you hold him back because he doesn't have that experience? So I think the landing spots for him shrank due to free agency. I don't think Arizona drafts him at number three overall. So I think that, you know, maybe is a round two where they trade back into round one if they are in love with him. I don't think the Jets draft him at two. Maybe they're an option in the middle of the first round, but it feels like a game of musical chairs where the ideal spots for him might be more round two than round one, unless we think Pittsburgh goes the Kenny Pickett draft again and has a quarterback fall to them and they say, oh, well, we have to do it because we don't have one. But that so clearly didn't work out for them before that I think you'd have to be a little gun shy.
Yeah, man, it just seems like 2027. You're talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. Yep. Everybody's putting their draft capital into it. I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some teams maybe at the back end of this first round in Pittsburgh trade out and be happy to trade out to get more capital next year. Right, Matt? Am I wrong? Yes, no?
No, you're right. And when when Baltimore traded with the Raiders before it all fell through, my initial thought was, why would you give up a 2027 first round pick? Like you would have to pry that pick from my cold dead hands before I would give up a 2027 first rounder. There's just no way that the value is there. And I think even looking at trades that are happening, the first thing I do is scroll to see 2027. You know, when Schefter or Rappaport tweet, I want to see what 2027 capital has been given up, because it's not just Arch Manning and players like that at the top. It is a much deeper draft top to bottom. And, you know, it's going to be fun to start talking about that in early May. I don't want to put this class to bed and not talk about these players in the next 45 days. But I think if I was in a front office, we would be doing everything possible to get picks for next year. And we've seen that conversation with GMs already who are focused on getting comp picks for next year. And that's third and fourth round picks that they're thinking about a year and 45 days away. They're already thinking about how to get that extra capital.
Well, not to, you know, have you stray out of your lane of being a draft expert and into information, but you know, information is part of your bag. The reaction mm-hmm. that you heard from sources of yours, if you don't mind, about the Max Crosby reversal and now that we're a week plus away from all that is what, Matt?
Yeah, the biggest thing I heard was that, you know, Baltimore is hard to work with now. You know, this, it kind of puts a sour taste in your mouth of who is going to want to do those pre-deadline deals with them where you're essentially waiting for, you know, this date because of the tampering period. I think that, you know, has certainly taken a franchise that has always been viewed as one of the model franchises for drafting and team building and player development. Now Eric DaCosta has looked at a little bit differently because, you know, I'm not sure if you've heard differently or if people have said differently. Everything that I heard was they just got cold feet. This wasn't about a failed physical. This wasn't about Max Crosby's demands or anything of that nature. It was just a team that realized that they could go back on a deal that they had made. And maybe they had the same conversation we're having, Rich, and said, "We're sure we want to give up a 2027 first rounder for a 29-year-old pass rusher that we're now going to have to pay top of market." So, you know, it's their right to change their mind because of that window that exists there. But I think the perception about Baltimore has definitely taken a hit in the last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing similar to what you're hearing is the fact that they, you know, thought about some of the information that they already had on Crosby, potentially did get a little bit more of an independent view on things. And that independent view came after losing their center and tight end and fullback and punter, and knowing that there were going to be more holes to fill and fewer draft choices in two different drafts at the very top of those drafts with which to fill it, and had their finger on a chess piece. Maybe if they really were going to pull off a double dip with Trey Hendrickson, they decided to just go in that direction and send the trade back. And I find it, you know, appropriate and interesting that you just said, Matt, that it's not dealing with the Ravens in the pre-new league year portion, not throughout the rest. I mean, if somebody's mm-hmm. going to want to trade up and get a player, they're not going to not call Eric DaCosta because they're fearful of the way, you know, the trade could go down. I just think it's that portion of the year where maybe next year somebody might think twice as opposed to any other time throughout the year, you know?
Oh, without a doubt. And pick 14 this year is quite valuable. It's interesting. I have 12 players with a first round grade this year. So 14 is that spot where you're probably hoping that a couple teams reach for need and you're still capable of getting a true first round caliber player. So that there is a lot of value in that pick this year. I understand Baltimore's mindset of, you're right, we lost Tyler Linderbaum, we lose Isaiah Likely. Maybe we're looking at a situation where, you know, Kenyon Sadiq from Oregon, the top tight end in this draft, is there for them. And maybe that is more valuable than this trade for a pass rusher, especially once you saw the price go down on Hendrickson. Like watching his stock drop, the price ticker on Hendrickson probably did add to the cold feet they were having in Baltimore. But that tampering period will be very different for Baltimore moving forward. You know, this happens to agents all the time, where an agent doesn't operate in good faith and teams say, we don't really want to work with that agent for a little while. You know, you kind of put them in timeout, so to speak. And I would not be surprised if we see a little bit of that for Baltimore, too.
All right, last one for you. Since we spoke to you at the Combine, the player whose stock is just going through the roof that we might not be aware of, Matt, you got one for me there?
Yeah, I think it's Miami right tackle, Francis Malinoa. I have a 7-round mock draft coming out in about 10 days.
Okay.
And he will be featured very, very highly in that 7-round mock draft. I think he's one of the cleanest, safest players in this draft. And because he's an offensive lineman, because he's a right tackle, they don't get a lot of the praise, a lot of the buzz. You know, they're working out on Sunday in Indy when a lot of folks have hit the road. But I have a strong feeling that he will not get very far out of the top five. He is just such a good prospect in a draft that lacks a lot of blue chip players. He's on the fringe of being a blue chip right tackle and would be on par with a lot of the really good offensive linemen we've seen drafted early the last couple of years.
All right, Matt, thanks for the time. We'll get you back on. We'll keep on checking in, see if any of this information changes or upgrades or downgrades and anything like that. I appreciate the time, brother. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys.
That's Matt Miller, everybody, right yes, here sir. On the Rich Eisen Show. Mendoza goes, and then the Jets choose somebody of Bailey and Reese or Styles.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
That leaves everybody not named two of those guys for the Cardinals. Let's just say they do go with the Miami right tackle. They go with Malinoa there.
Yep.
Okay. That leaves the Titans with every offensive skilled player, if you will, not named Fernando Mendoza.
Fact.
Right? Or they might just say, screw it. We'll go with whoever the Jets didn't take at the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
They love Styles, or they love Bailey. Let's just say Reese goes there, right? That leaves every other offensive player not named Fernando Mendoza for the Giants, or the third player right, not named Bailey or Reese or Styles.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or named one of those.
Mm-hmm.
What do the Browns do at 6? Because Tate's sitting there too, the Ohio State. I think the Browns would go for Carnell Tate in a heartbeat, right? Which leaves potentially Jeremiah Love for the Commanders.
Wow.
Right. I just kind of named all that. Which leaves every wide receiver on the board for the Saints, not named Tate. That also leaves Downs still on the board, right? Correct. There's another the Browns could go offensive lineman there too.
Spencer Freneau.
You know, he could be taken off the board there. The kid from Georgia, I believe, is out there sitting out there as well, which would push everybody named Tate and Love down another one.
Yeah.
Just throwing some scenarios out how some really good offensive players could get pushed down into that Saints Chiefs category. And let's just say Love is available there for the Saints.
Whew.
Would you call up Mickey Loomis and start making a trade? And if you're the Saints, you'd have to accept it, right?
Have to.
Because you've just signed Travis Etienne. Who I can't stop talking about, not only because he's a good player, but I just want to show off my French accent.
Do you think... Devin,
thank you for that chuckle.
Do you think Devin Etienne should now change his pronunciation to
Etienne?
Etienne,
just to screw with us? Why not? I mean, these mock drafts are going to be very interesting because there are ways for really good. Because let's just say, if you put that up one more time, let's just reverse it. Okay, let's just say again, the Jets are totally going defense, right? And
totally.
And so what if the Cardinals go Love and the Titans go Tate?
Wow.
Now,
oh, man.
It's every defensive player not named either whoever the Jets take available for the Giants.
Jeez.
Okay. And then whatever lineman linemen.
Browns could get
there.
The third guy there.
Possible.
And the Miami kid still drops.
Right. It's possible. Yeah,
Browns go defense.
I don't know.
Commanders go protector for
no idea. Daniels. No clue. But there's some really good players that get pushed down to the Commanders, Saints, Chiefs, and Bengals. Just sitting tight. You know, I just think at the end of the day, Tate being there for 11 for the Dolphins is a pipe dream.
Yeah, they're going to have to move up.
Let's take a break
Ankathon
here.
Ankathon has him at 11, by the way.
Who does?
Tate.
I just think it's a pipe dream. I honestly think it is. Whew. He's that good. And people who just don't know about him because or think he's not because he ran some 4.5 at the combine, or, you know, Jeremiah Smith is the one who gets all the pub for Ohio State. Take my word for it. You want a piece of that guy on your team, and you don't want a piece of him when he's going against yours. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Top five sports Patricks here on St. Patrick's Day to get us out the door.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, get into your Hyundai Getaway sales event near you right now and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. There's an all-electric vehicle waiting for you. The Ioniq 5 or the Ioniq 9 is an all-electric choice you can make. There's the bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Great deals on the popular models, including the adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid or the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Get down right now to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with the deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. I've got a top five list, everybody.
Do it.
Go ahead and hit it. Hit it, please. Hit it. It's my
top five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
It's my top five presented by Hyundai, and it's my top five favorite Patricks here on St. Patrick's Day. Why wouldn't you want to get a list like this from a Jewish man not wearing green? Number five on my list of my favorite sports Patricks. This is personal to me. ESPN, as you know, it was my 30-year anniversary of my Sports Center from the other day. Just 30 years ago, my first ever Sports Center. Once I departed ways and got handed a cardboard box, I wound up working with this man in my first gig after getting bounced from Bristol, Connecticut. I covered the U.S. Open for CBS Sports, and I sat there at the U.S. Tennis Center with this man, and I fell in love with one Patrick McEnroe.
Hey.
I got to have Patrick McEnroe number five on this list. Number
great
five is Patrick McEnroe. Yeah, by the way, can you get more Irish than a guy named Patrick McEnroe?
You
tell me.
You
what's
cannot.
Up, Pat? Certainly since your brother was hazing me nonstop when I showed up at the U.S. Open. Number four on the list is maybe the greatest player in the history of United States hockey players born in the United States of America. The man who passed Mike Modano for most goals scored by an American hockey player. Three-time Stanley Cup winner Patrick Kane, who will never buy a meal in the city of Chicago, I think, the rest of his days.
Good one.
Okay. Number three on this list, Patrick Kane is not the highest-rated hockey player named Patrick on this list.
Oh.
When I did start at SportsCenter back in 1996, the first Stanley Cup playoffs I ever covered was this one that involved Patrick Waugh getting a leg up, if you will, on Jeremy Roenick after the Avalanche bounced the Blackhawks, and Jeremy Roenick was critical of Patrick Waugh's play, saying, "I want to know where he was in game three, probably getting his jock out of the rafters at the United Center," is what Jeremy Roenick had to say about Patrick Waugh, who retorted with this.
"I can't really hear what Jeremy says because I got my two Stanley Cup rings plug in my ear."
What an all-timer.
That puts Patrick Waugh third on my all-time Patrick Good. Sports Patrick's list. Number two, again, near and dear to my heart, one of the best players in the history of the NBA. He was just born at the wrong time when Michael Jordan was playing collegiate and professional football, basketball. That's a problem. When Michael Jordan's playing for North Carolina, he's playing for Georgetown. Michael Jordan's playing for the Bulls. He's playing for the New York Knickerbockers. Patrick Ewing's number two on the list.
Patrick Ewing.
And then number one on the list, I've got to do it this way. Keep the camera the way it is, okay? Number one on the list has got to be Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I had to slide in here and tell you my favorite Patrick is Mahomes. What do you think? I did the slide and everything.
Of the impression or the list?
What do you mean?
Man.
How is Patrick Mahomes not number one on the list? He's already on the Mount Rushmore before he even turned 30 in the history of the National Football League.
Actually, you're right.
I mean, look, okay. There's a lot that you left off, is what I'm saying.
Well, I can't. And give me the one more.
We need one more. Oh, all right, we'll get one more.
If I didn't put this man on the list, he would never talk to me again. And plus, I feel this way about him because he was there for me 30 years ago when I did my first Sports Center this week. He was hazing me nonstop. DP.
Hey.
Dan Patrick. Without him, this show doesn't exist.
Nice.
Dan wants me to say this. I owe my entire career to him. I would have totally flunked out of SportsCenter if he wasn't there since
high school.
I'll never forget. It's probably like 3 weeks after my first ever SportsCenter. Getting ready for that 2 a.m. SportsCenter. Looking at all the tapes. Feel this presence to my left. Look up. It's Dan looking down at me. He goes, so, you're nervous. Without that, I wouldn't be the man I am today. And this top five is brought to you by Hyundai. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody, hey. For all the Tostitos.
They're love always it. After me, Lucky Charms.
Thank you so much for that drop. Thanks for taking in this program. Back to wrap up this show in just a matter of moments here to wrap up this Wednesday and get you ready for... an actual Wednesday show here on this Tuesday. That's how we're ending it. I'm drunk already.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.